Taped from New Jersey, it's the SNL Nerds, the show where two comics from New Jersey nerd out over Saturday Night Live. I'm one of your co-hosts, John Trumbull.
And I'm the other co-host, Darren Patterson.
And this week we are covering the episode from November 10th, 2018, season 44, episode 5, Liev Schreiber hosting Lil Wayne musical guest.
Yes, Liev Schreiber and Lil Wayne together at last.
Yes, I mean they go back so far.
Oh my God, the world has been clamoring for this since I don't know when.
Yeah, it's I thought it was a pretty good episode overall.
I thought it was all right. I guess one of my main concerns was, like, when I first heard about this, I was like, oh, Liev Schreiber, he's not really known for comedy. He's like, he's more of a drama man. Like, he, like, if you look at his, you know, filmography, all he does is like dramas and doesn't do any comedies at all, I don't think. But I mean, it's nice that he addressed it, too, in the cold open, which, I mean, we'll talk about that in a bit, but
yeah.
He addressed it, like, yeah, I'm a drama dude, but...
I thought that was cool. So, okay, well, let's dive into it.
Let's dive right into this baby.
Our cold opening, it had Kate McKinnon as Jeff Sessions, who...
For one last time.
I mean, it was kind of an eventful week
in
the news.
It's always an every week is eventful.
We had the big election on Tuesday.
Yeah, we had that.
Democrats took control of the House.
That happened.
The next day, Jeff Sessions resigns, apparently at Donald Trump's request.
I'm sure the two things had nothing to do with each other.
And
happy coincidence.
And California's on fire.
Yeah.
And Trump doesn't want to go out into the rain, so he doesn't want to pay tribute to World War I veterans.
Yeah, it's everything's crumbling around us.
It's we packed a lot into this week, is what I'm saying. Oof. A lot of insanity for the week.
Just insane insanity. And I'm not surprised. I kind of saw this coming with the whole Jeff Sessions thing, because Kate McKinnon's done a great job of doing a little Jeff Sessions impression.
Yeah.
Sessions impressions. I kind of knew, like, oh, they're going to go back to this well one last time.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, with the Trump administration, it seems to have so much turnover in it that it seems like SNL, especially when they're like the end of the season, they do like sort of a big goodbye sketch because they don't know how many of these people are still going to be around in a few months' time.
It's like, you know.
So this was like the goodbye to Kate McKinnon doing Jeff Sessions.
Right. And then they had everybody come out, like A.D. Bryant was Sarah Huckabee.
Sanders.
Beck Bennett was Pence.
And we had... Alex Moffat, Mikey Day as Eric and Donald Jr. Trump Jr.
I'm actually liking them more and more, like with the characters they
do. Developed those characters really well. Yeah. I mean, and those two seem to have a real comfort level working together. I don't know if they ever worked together before they came to the show, but they've really developed a nice rapport.
Yeah, I feel like they have. Maybe they came up in like, the Groundlings or whatever, but they seem to know each other pretty well. It wouldn't surprise me if they came up together.
Yeah.
And I think one of the lines I liked when Eric was saying, oh, I heard we're going to get some penis.
Yes.
And Donald Jr. was like, no, subpoena.
Yeah. I mean, that was some really clever wordplay. It kind of reminded me of the sort of stuff they used to do on the Celebrity Jeopardy.
Yes. I'll take anal bum covers for $200.
I don't know who on the SNL staff is good at that, because, I mean, that's a skill.
I'll take famous titties for $200, Alex.
That's famous titles.
That's what the mother said last night, Trebek.
I'll take the horse semen. That's the horseman.
We are 10 years old.
Yeah. And, the other thing is, I think this might be the last person in the Trump administration they had being played by a woman, if I remember correctly. The last male Trump administration guy.
Oh, yeah, Spicer's gone. And now this.
And I feel like they had one or two others, but I can't. I'll be damned if I can remember what they are.
I mean, those are the two main ones. But
yeah, those are the two main. And I apparently it was like really bugging Trump that they had a woman playing Sean Spicer.
Yeah.
So I think SNL just kind of leaned into it, and they're like, "We're going to cast as many women as men as we can."
That's right. Cecily Strong, can you do a great? Can you do a Scaramucci? if so, you hop in this suit right now, lady.
And I mean, like Kate McKinnon's Jeff Sessions, I always kind of loved because it was just this demented racist elf.
Like it wasn't a spot on impression, but it was like she captured his essence.
It was so wonderfully exaggerated, though. It was just a character unto itself.
Yeah, like and there was at one point where she had a mug that said, "Oh, it's not about hatred is about heritage.
Oh, yes.
And then, like, there's a smaller mug inside saying, JK, it is about heritage.
Yeah, it is about hatred. Yes, that was...
And there was a celebrity cameo at the end.
We had De Niro. De Niro again. Returning as Robert Mueller.
Yeah. I mean, he was all right.
He's not the most comfortable guy in the world with the live performance, you know?
It's weird, because he's one of the greatest actors, but, like, as far as, like, live, like, as live, you know, sketch comedy goes, he's kind of, like, a little bit stiff.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
I don't think he was ever, like, a theater guy, really, so I think it's maybe a little outside his comfort zone.
Really? I thought didn't he come up in the theater, or maybe not?
Maybe he did, I don't know.
Huh.
Right. I don't know. This would be Colin. Yeah.
Colin, everybody.
Colin, the show is not live, but please call in. Yeah.
Just call in. Just call in. We don't
have a number, but please call in.
Yeah, text us.
If you have our cell numbers, just call us and let us know what you think about Robert De Niro's early career.
Yes, please do.
And
but it wasn't that bad when she sang a whole singing Adele songs and whatnot.
Yes.
That's singing Adele
and,
songs.
The sort of noticeable by his absence was Alec Baldwin's Donald Trump. They didn't have anything new with Alec Baldwin because I guess he's too busy fighting over parking spaces.
Yes, fighting off parking vigilante.
But they put in some flashbacks of Trump with Sessions.
Yeah,
from the last 2 years, I guess.
Yeah,
or 18
yeah.
months, however long he was
in
the job.
It just feels like forever. It just feels like 2 years.
It feels like 200.
It feels like an eternity.
But, so that was the cold open. I thought it was decent.
It was all right. Yeah.
It was decent. And then...
And then the open monologue.
With Mr. Liev Schreiber.
With Liev Schreiber, which I talked about earlier. Mm-hmm. I did like how the monologue, it wasn't... Like, usually there's, like, a little kind of gimmick to it, like, mm-hmm. like, he'll do, like, a song and dance, or there'll be, like, a celebrity cameo.
Right.
But this one was just him talking.
Yeah, yeah.
And saying, basically, temper your expectations, I'm a drama guy.
He's like, I'm not known as a funny person. He said, this is all about managing expectations.
Yeah.
And he says, but I used to try and use humor to pick up women, but now I do a thing that works for me better. I'm a very famous actor with a great deal of money and a very nice apartment. And he said, if you end up liking a laughing, cool, no pressure. If you end up not laughing, that's fine, too.
Yeah, it's all right.
I enjoyed it. He leaned into it a bit.
I also saw, it was interesting, he mentioned the election at the end of it, too. I thought, like, oh, wow, it's getting political. And it was one of those things where it was just saying, oh, that's great that we had all this huge turnout.
100 million people
came out.
Largest number ever for a midterm election.
Yeah, and it's weird because, like, there was no punchline. It was just him saying...
Yeah, just a little sincere moment, which I thought was cool.
I mean, sincere moments are good. I mean, they're just odd. They kind of feel like out of place a little bit because it's a comedy show, so you're expecting, like, all this tons of comedy. So when you get sincere moments, like the other one, which we'll talk about later, that happened during Weekend Update.
There were a couple sincere moments on this show.
It's just like, oh, it just kind of takes you aback a little bit.
It does. But, I mean, I thought it was decent. I think we deserve a little pat on the back for having such a great turnout for the midterm.
Yeah. Whether it was, whatever it made all those people come out, whether it was... Mm-hmm. Taylor Swift saying the vote or whatever.
I think it was pretty much all Taylor Swift.
Okay.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe Beyonce too. She had wore that hat.
Sure.
That
sure.
Hat.
It was all Taylor Swift and Beyonce, as most things in life are.
Yes. So thank your pop star today, people, for telling you to go out and vote.
Pop stars just don't get enough credit.
Thank you.
Down to it. I mean,
hug a pop star. Just tell them thank you for your service.
But with their permission. I mean, we are all about consent on this show.
Exactly.
You don't want another lawsuit like Taylor Swift had with that DJ who was, like, grabbing her ass.
Oh, yeah. DJ Grab Ass.
DJ Grab Ass.
One of ones and twos. Another thing about, don't hug her. You don't want to get tackled by the security. So don't, just give them a thumbs up or
maybe
something.
Maybe wave to a pop star.
Yeah,
is
wave.
What we're saying. Just wave, nod in their direction.
Yeah. Give them the nod, wave politely.
Acknowledge them. Give them a thumbs up. Give them a...
Yeah.
An okay symbol.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the okay symbol, isn't that what, white power now? Or?
Yeah, I think it is.
Damn it. All right. Just give them a wave. And then...
Ignore pop stars is what we're saying.
Yeah. Just pretend you don't see them.
Just let them go about their daily lives. They don't want to be bothered.
Yeah. That's what they really want. Just
right.
For you not to acknowledge
that's
them.
That's what they want. What they really, really want.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Yeah. So let's see. Our first sketch of the evening was Good Day Denver.
Right.
Where we have Cecily Strong and Kyle Mooney as co-anchors of the show, and they have a remote piece with a couple of brothers.
Yeah. Who are into investing.
The Invest Twins, but they're accidentally introduced as the Incest Twins.
Right.
And wackiness ensues.
Yes, that's pretty much it. Like, the graphics go up saying, oh, here are the Incest Twins.
Right.
And then it's just them talking about investment, but not knowing that people see them as incest.
Yes. And the cry on below is the graphics are just saying, and they're saying all these things that can be easily misinterpreted when you think they're talking about incest instead of investing.
Yeah. I mean, it's a simple premise.
And similar to a sketch they did a year or two ago where they had a zoo photographer. Do you remember this one?
Kinda.
It was the same setup. It was that they had a zoo photographer where he was accidentally introduced as a zoo pornographer. And so they thought he was taking pornographic pictures of animals. And
this does sound familiar.
Yeah, I looked it up this morning because I was vaguely remembering it. And it was something whenever Scarlett Johansson last hosted.
Oh, okay. So it's fairly recent.
Yeah. It's like, I think this is the second time they've done it.
Okay. All right.
And I enjoyed the sketch. I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
There were some clever things. Like, you know, when it comes to trust, I'd rather put it in family.
Oh, yeah, and they brought out their sister, and it's like,
sister.
It's like, how is it working with these two? It's like, well, sometimes they get into big fights, so I have to get in between them. It's like a real sister sandwich.
And they're gonna jam it down my throat, and I have to take it on the chin. And then they bring in Kate McKinnon as the grandmother, and they have a big group hug.
Yeah.
And I also liked, the stuff that Cecily Strong and Kyle Mooney did as the anchors. You know, it was like, so for those of you who are tuning in horrified right now, they have the wrong graphic. And at one point she says, please cut back to me because I don't want anything that she just said to appear on the crawl below.
Yeah, I know. Cecily Strong, she's underrated, I think.
She is.
She's solid every time she goes up there.
She's great. And this was a big show for her. She was in almost everything we saw tonight.
I think. She was. I thought about, I didn't. It wasn't until the end that I realized, oh, wow, so Leslie Jones isn't in this episode that much.
Leslie Jones didn't pop up until pretty late in the episode.
Right. But I mean, we'll talk about that. But yeah, it's like, oh, wow, this is like a Leslie heavy.
Yes,
but,
but it varies from week to week. That's what you get.
It's the nature of the beast.
Next, we had a film segment, sort of a musical video thing.
Right.
A unity song where it's basically saying, we can't agree on the major stuff, so let's try to agree on all this minor stuff that we hate.
Yeah, like wet jeans.
Wet jeans and bees following us. And
the word crotch and moist.
Yes, and when you're texting with somebody and you get that little, the
bubbles.
The three-dot thing that indicates somebody else is texting you, and then they stop typing and it disappears, and you're like, what did they say?
When the pilot talks about the wind speed on an airplane.
Yes, and they interrupt your movie that you're watching.
Yeah.
And
I thought it was all right.
So, it was cute. We had Cecily Strong and Beck Bennett and Igo Nwodim.
Igo Nwodim, yes.
And they actually have nice voices. Their voices were blending well, I thought.
Yeah, yeah. It was all right.
It was, I enjoyed this. I thought it was good. I thought it had something that the show needs more of, namely Cecily Strong in a miniskirt.
Oh, boy.
I'm just saying that's
we're just talking. If any authorities are listening, this is just words. We're not no actions. Thank you.
I'm just saying I enjoyed that aspect of the sketch.
There's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah,
it's great. It's fine.
That's
So,
but yeah, I thought it was cute.
Yeah, it was a great sketch. I dug it. I liked it a lot. And Cecily Strong in a skirt's nice. Beck Bennett has lovely legs. Beautiful man.
Yeah, I mean, sure.
Yeah, they're all attractive people.
That's true.
That's what I'm saying. Just a hot plate of comedy. Not bad, eh?
A hot plate of comedy.
A hot plate of comedy. That's what it is.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
My
improv skills are getting better and better.
So moving on, we have what is becoming like a regular bit on SNL, which was what I, in my notes initially had, is the alien abduction sketch. But
yeah,
they changed it up a little this time. Yeah. This time it was, they were dealing with ghosts and the supernatural.
Right.
And we have Kate McKinnon's character of Ms. Rafferty, where...
Does she have the same name every time? Or
I don't know.
You should look that up.
I made a point of noting her name this time.
Okay.
I didn't go back and look at the other sketches. I'm assuming, because it's obviously the same character.
Yeah, she, like, she dresses the same, smokes the same.
Yeah, stuff, so and, you know, we're, the setup of this, we have three people being interviewed about their experiences with this unusual supernatural thing.
Right.
And it's Cecily Strong is one, the host is the second, and then the third is Kate McKinnon as, right, as Rafferty.
Yeah, and the first you always have like a beautiful, lovely experience with the mm-hmm. supernatural and paranormal, but then Kate McKinnon always has like a horrible,
yeah,
like gross experience with
right. With the aliens, like she was the one who got alien probed or right. whatever. And yeah, and this one.
Yeah. I mean, the sketch is basically just a showcase for Kate McKinnon to do Kate McKinnon.
Yeah, exactly. Which
full Kate McKinnon. I mean,
you can't go wrong with that. You know,
no,
you
just, not at all.
You let Kate McKinnon loose and let her do her thing, and that's always going to be a good time.
My favorite part was when she referred to her her butt and her butthole and her vagina as the baby tunnel and the gravy funnel.
There were a lot of funny things like that, funny phrases. She also had my fuzzy and my scuzzy. and then, let's see. Then we had, towards the end, my please hump it and my cheese trumpet.
Oh, cheese trumpet. How do you even...
I don't want to analyze that too much. I have an idea what's being said, but I don't want to delve into that too closely. Like,
cheese doesn't come out of there.
Or we'll talk
it?
Off air.
Or does it? Or does it?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm...
You know, at first I was like, oh, I kind of miss this without Ryan Gosling cracking up, because I think the previous two times they did it, it was Ryan Gosling hosting.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And he could not keep it together. But there was a moment where Kate McKinnon's saying that the spirit she was with could not move on unless she left an upper decker in that bitch's toilet. and then Kate McKinnon, she gets up on the chair and she puts like one leg over to Liev Schreiber's chair.
Yeah, she's like straddling the two chairs.
And you can see Liev Schreiber like, trying to hide his face from the camera because he's starting to lose it a bit.
Right.
And that's fun.
As if anybody would, if you have, like, you know, Kate McKinnon straddling your chair. And
yeah, she was basically, like, resting her butt against his shoulder. She's just...
That's just funny.
It was a funny visual.
You can almost kind of hear, like, everybody else kind of lose it a little bit, too.
Yeah,
like,
I think I saw A.D. Bryant breaking a little bit. And
yeah, and I think maybe Cecily might have broke a little bit.
Maybe.
But still, maybe. It's a great sketch. I mean, it's Kate McKinnon.
Yeah. I mean, how can you go wrong?
How can you go wrong with Kate McKinnon?
I mean, unless she's like as a teacher who just fell down for some reason.
Yeah, but I think some people kind of like that sketch too, because it's just so oddball that it was good. I don't know. It depends. I guess that one depends on who you are. Like,
did they really? Did that sketch was getting some love?
I feel like it was. I don't have the numbers to back that up. Okay. I just feel like maybe it's a few people liked it.
Interesting.
It was definitely odd, but it was odd in a way that I couldn't stare away from it.
This is a sketch from last week that we talked about a little bit,
where she was like on the floor and she was just saying bizarre
teacher
things.
Who fell.
Yeah, just saying bizarre things to her students as she was on the floor.
But, well, anyway, back to this week.
That was an acquired taste.
Yes, you know. That's the nicest way to put it.
Yes.
next we had another music video thing with Booty Kings.
Oh, yes, Booty Kings and Uncle Butt.
And, we had Keenan and Chris Redd, and they're rappers, and they're talking about how much they love the booty.
Yes.
On the ladies in the dance club, but then the twist is... They're all about consent and permission, and they don't want to admire the ladies' booties unless the ladies were cool with it, because they're trying to be allies,
right?
And
it's like, oh, that's an interesting little twist on it.
It was a cool twist, and they're actually rapping about, you know, how they're trying to be as sensitive to the women, and they're approaching the women there, and the women are like, oh no, we're just here to hang out with our friends, and they're like, oh, cool. Cool. We'll leave you alone then.
Yeah, see, progressive rap. And we're getting there.
It was cool, and
that's all right. And had a Lil Wayne with had a cameo, Future had a cameo, and it was nice. It was all right.
And they were like, oh, we can't call them hoes no more.
Wait, they got names now?
Wait, what do we call bitches then? we call them by their names. Okay, that's good. That's good. That's like important. Cool. Yeah, all right. And they're like, okay, going forward, we'll call the bitches by their names.
Okay.
All right. And
yeah, I mean, because that does, I mean, in the hip-hop world, it does kind of blow my mind, like, how that sort of is still okay, like the, what you call it, like, and I won't say, I guess misogyny is
the disrespect in the women.
Yeah, like, this seems to be the one of the few places it seems to be okay and still accepted, but, like, it always surprised me how it's still prevalent, and so, like, this, I thought this video is a cool, like, kind of take on that.
Yeah, I thought it was cool. I thought it was funny. I thought maybe, like, went on a little long, but I thought it was good.
I'll give you that.
Yeah. I thought it could have been just as funny, or even a little funnier, if it was maybe a bit shorter. But, you know, you have Lil Wayne in there rapping. Yeah. You want to give him room to play.
Yeah, give him the rap. Yeah.
So.
Got to let Kate McKinnon play. Got to let Lil Wayne wane.
Yeah. Lil Wayne, he's going to wane.
Yeah.
And speaking of that.
Oh, yeah. And then the next thing was Lil Wayne performance. I mean, I'm not a huge Lil Wayne fan. I mean, I know of him. And yeah, this performance, it was all right. It was okay. It was nice that he said he gave a shout out to the veterans and the troops at the end.
I think I missed that.
At the very end, he was like, salute to the troops or something like that.
Was that in his first segment or his second segment?
Yeah, it was. And that's because, you know, Veterans Day is coming up. And
It's Veterans Day today. We're recording this. Yeah.
I thought it was Monday.
I think it's
Or maybe
today.
It's observed. I don't know. But either way. Thanks to all our veterans out there.
Thank you.
But yeah. Lil Wayne says thank you, and I thought the performance was okay.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. I know this is going to shock everyone listening to this. I'm not really a Lil Wayne guy, but I know. I seem so like the type.
You're more of a Birdman type of guy?
Yes,
he's a rapper.
Okay,
you're thinking about the Hanna-Barbera cartoon, aren't you?
Darren saw the blank look on my face, and I was like, "Well, yeah, I like the movie with like Michael Keaton and Emma Stone and." Yeah, Birdman.
Is he talking about the Hanna-Barbera cartoon?
Yeah. Birdman. Yeah,
there it is. I'm more of a Space Ghost guy. He knows that. I'm more of a Herculoids.
Harvey. Yeah, Herculoids. That was it? Right, sure. That was it. Yeah. Nice. Little Hanna-Barbera superhero in the 60s.
Yeah, I watched a lot of USA Cartoon Express guys. So,
there you go.
I know a thing or two about things.
But I enjoyed the Lil Wayne segments. I liked in his second segment, he had the whole mob of people behind him.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I thought that was really cool. And they were just, you know, all dancing and all jamming. And
hip-hopping and Swizz Beatz was out front. Yeah. That was all right. He's okay. Yeah, same. I'm not a huge Lil Wayne fan, but I'm like, it was all right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So next up, Weekend Update.
Weekend Update.
This is probably my favorite part of the show. Like, I always think.
Oh, yeah?
I always think it does, 9 times out of 10, like, they have some really good jokes, and it always does pretty well.
I did laugh out loud a couple times at some bits. I thought, like, at the beginning when they were talking about how, like, the Democrats took back the House and stuff, the audience applause, like, got a little distracting because, obviously, the audience was, I believe,
predominantly
left-leaning,
let's
say. And I'd so say they're that. And they're very happy about how the election went, so they were just like, And I get that. I just, it threw off the rhythm a little bit.
I'll see. I'll agree with that. There was that one time, that one joke Michael Che had where he was talking about Beto O'Rourke, and it's like people want him to run for president. He already has the things that, you know, that a lot of Democrats have. Like, he gives great speeches, wears great suits, and he loses elections.
Yes, that was a great line.
And I laughed, but I heard a lot of people in the audience were like, oh, that's not funny.
It's very true, though.
It is. You got to be able to laugh at yourself once in a while.
Yeah.
But that was a great line.
I also like the line about Beto running a campaign of garlic and crosses against Ted Cruz. And then they had a little graphic of Ted Cruz as a vampire.
Yeah. That was funny. And
that was funny.
Then Cecily Strong again came out as a White House intern.
That was great. She was a White House press intern who tried to take away Jim Acosta's microphone during the press conference.
Right.
The Trump's post-election press conference, which...
And just give me that.
Yeah. And then she just sort of shrinks away. She goes below the desk and...
Yeah.
That was great. That was really amusing.
It was good stuff.
I enjoyed that. And I also liked Michael Che had a nice line about how suburban women mean white women.
Yeah.
And he says, you know, white women, don't try to appropriate blindly voting for Democrats, because that's our people. That's black people's thing.
That's our thing. Yeah, I like that Michael Che can make, because a lot of people think, liberals, comedians or whatever, they just make fun of the right and... Mm-hmm. People like that. People like, but like Michael Che kind of does the thing where he makes fun of the right and the left. Like,
yeah.
And I know like a lot of liberal people kind of don't like that. Like when they make fun of Democrats and liberal, but you know, I feel like you kind of have to make fun of it a little bit just to, you know.
Yeah, I think you have to make fun of all sides.
Yeah.
I think right now the show
on both sides
is making fun of the right a lot more just because the right is the party in power still. It is.
Yeah.
I mean, until the Democrats took the House, the Republicans were controlling every branch
of
government. So, of course, you're going to make fun of the people in power more.
Yeah.
Something I was surprised we didn't, because also in the news this week was Ruth Bader Ginsburg. She like fractured three ribs.
Yeah, I thought maybe they would have.
I thought for sure we'd see Kate McKinnon as the notorious RGB.
I thought so. That
or RBG, I should say. Right. But no, that didn't happen.
Well, maybe there's always next week.
Yeah, I mean, she did appear like a few weeks ago.
That's true too.
But yeah, I was surprised we didn't do that. But
yeah, well.
But the big thing in a weekend update this week was Pete Davidson addressing a controversy from his last week's appearance, which I don't know if we really talked about this last week.
We did. I don't think we did, because like honestly, from what I remember, like we saw it and. It didn't. It was like, oh, okay. He's making fun of the congressman. Is congressman elect Dan Crenshaw?
Yes.
And he made fun of him in his eye patch. And we thought, oh, okay, that's funny. But apparently, it was like a bigger deal than both of us thought.
This controversy erupted because, like Pete Davidson said, okay, I guess he lost his eye in war or whatever.
Yeah.
And I think that phrasing really pissed people off because it seemed very dismissive.
Yeah, I guess so.
But I thought. The actual line about it was funny, whereas he looks like a hitman in a porno.
Yeah.
Which, I'm sorry, that's a funny line, because in your life you don't meet too many people wearing an eye patch unless you're filming like an Avengers movie with Samuel L. Jackson.
Exactly. Like, eye patches are just funny. Like, when you see a dude with an eye patch, that's just comedy right there.
It is kind of weird.
The hot plate of comedy.
In 2018... We still haven't like developed beyond the eye patch technology.
Like we still have pirate technology when it comes to somebody losing their eye. Like,
you'd think like sometime in the last 500 years we would have developed something beyond the eye patch.
Like, nope, they just thought we're never going to get better than that.
Just
slick Rick that guy.
And it's
up
still and, just like attached with a strap and
yeah. But, like, you think maybe you could put it together with like magnets or I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm not a doctor, but yeah, we just still have the eye patch.
But
yeah, apparently this was more controversial than we thought, because if you listen back to that episode, we barely talked about it because it barely registered with us.
Yeah.
But apparently, it became a whole a big to do.
Now, I mean, we're comedians, so we're both dead inside.
Yes.
So we don't have, you know, what is it called, like decency and empathy.
Yeah, I don't even know how to spell that.
No. But yeah, a lot of people were offended by this, so I think it was good that the show decided to address it. And we had Pete Davidson coming on, and he gave, I thought, a very sincere apology. He said, you know, the left and the right can all agree on one thing: I'm a dick. And then they actually had Lieutenant Commander Dan Crenshaw, who's now Congressman elect from Texas.
Right.
He came on and accepted the apology. And they had a cute bit where he had an Ariana Grande ringtone.
Oh yeah,
which that was really funny.
That was tremendous.
That was tremendous. And then he very graciously accepted the apology, and he made a few jokes at Pete Davidson's expense.
Yes, I think what he.
My favorite line was, he looks like if the meth from Breaking Bad was a person.
Nice. And then he said he looks like a troll doll with a tapeworm.
And also, you look like Martin Short in the Santa Claus 3,
yeah, I think it was. Chris, yeah. See, that was a deep cut. Like, they had to get a picture of Martin Short next to Pete Davidson so people would see it and get it.
Yeah. And then he said, you know, and Martin Short was actually good on SNL. And Pete Davidson was like, yeah, I agree.
Damn.
And then it got, this was the other sincere moment of the show where Congressman-elect Crenshaw, he said, you know, this is a nice thing. It shows that Americans can forgive each other. And he also had a nice statement about Veterans Day.
Yeah.
And said, you know, instead of just thanking a veteran for their service, say never forget to a veteran.
Yeah.
Because it shows that it's important, and you acknowledge what their sacrifice.
Yeah, and then he mentioned Pete's dad, who passed away in 9/11.
Yeah, who was a first responder.
Yeah, I didn't even know Pete knew that was he was going to do that. Because he seemed like pretty surprised by that.
You think?
I think so. He seemed like kind of, oh, you're mentioning my dad. All right, thank you.
Well, I mean,
I could have, maybe I misread that.
I don't know. Yeah, I didn't pick that up. I'd have to look back at that and see.
Okay. But yeah, it was like a very somber, serious moment that kind of.
But I think it worked well. I think it hit the right note. I think they had enough laughs and they had enough sincerity. And I thought it was really classy of Lieutenant Commander Crenshaw to come on the show, accept the apology in person.
Right.
And I mean, because he didn't have to do that.
No, not at all. I was shocked to see him there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, honestly, when he came out, I honestly thought maybe it was somebody, like one of the cast members in an iPad. It's like, oh, is that Kyle Mooney? But then I was like, oh, wait, no, I think that's the actual guy.
That's the real guy. That's the real guy. And I thought that was classy. And he said something like, oh, thank you for making a Republican look good.
Yeah. Again, making fun of your own tribe.
It's nice when politicians can show a bit of sense of humor about themselves, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I mean, I thought this was interesting in that this could be a thing where Pete Davidson just, like, has a way to appear every week now. He says something controversial the first week. He apologizes the second week. And then we can start the cycle over and over again.
I'd actually that than, like, you know, him being in sketches and stuff. I think he's just better behind a desk than he is in a sketch.
And I think he acknowledges that, too.
Yeah.
I mean, that also, like, kind of leads into an interesting area I wanted to ask you about. How do you feel about comedians apologizing for jokes they made? Do you think that's something that we as comics should do or not? Do you have a philosophy on that?
Do I? I'll be careful here. I mean, I guess it depends. Because, I mean, I honestly was, like, really surprised when they did the apology. Because, like,
right.
I really can't think of another time when they apologized like that. Like,
yeah.
I mean, SNL has had a history of just telling kind of all these jokes and, like, sometimes going a little too far, but they never apologize. Yeah. Or maybe they did, like an apology through the press or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But they never really apologized, like, on the air in a skit like
that. Yeah, I think this was just such a big thing. I mean, like, even Kenan Thompson said something about it. Because, like, Kenan Thompson's father was, I think, a Vietnam veteran.
Whoa, did he say that?
Yeah, Kenan Thompson even gave a statement. He's like, yeah, that was over the line. That wasn't good.
Really?
So this got huge.
Shit, how did I miss this? I had no idea.
I saw that in my newsfeed this week.
This just flew over my head. All right, well.
So, I mean, I think Kenan's at a place he's just like, I'm just going to say whatever the hell I want.
I mean, he's at that point where it's like he's been there long enough.
He's been at that show forever.
Yeah, he's got tenure.
Yeah, I mean, I can see it. I don't know. Personally, I didn't feel like the joke was that bad because I didn't feel like the main part of the joke was, I didn't think it was like mocking his service or anything like that.
Right.
It was just kind of mocking
his appearance.
It's weird to see somebody in an eye patch. I think that was.
I mean, see, exactly. I thought he was more mocking his appearance than he was his, you know, his service or himself as a person.
But because that's inherently connected to his service, people took offense, and I understand that.
And plus, even I think, like, as he said the joke, Pete, he even did more to cover himself. He even made fun of his appearance.
Mm-hmm.
Like at the end, it's like he said, like, "What? Who am I to talk about Pete's appearance? Look at me. I look like a such and such." Like he was making fun of himself just to soften the blow that might come back from him making fun of Crenshaw or.
Crenshaw.
Yeah, Crenshaw. I'm right. But like, apparently, that wasn't enough, and like, people still got offended.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like, I mean, as far as apologizing for jokes, I guess it depends on like if you feel like the joke was, you know, just enough that like I don't know. It depends. I guess it depends on you as a person.
It's a situational.
Case by case. Like also Pete's a guy who like he's saying kind of jokes on behalf of Saturday Night Live. So if Saturday Night Live catches heat, then they have to put the heat on him, the pressure on him to apologize. So it's one of those things where, like, depending on, like, I guess who your master is, you have to apologize or not. Or I don't know. I mean, honestly, for the most part, I'm kind of against it. Just, you know, if it's an honest joke where you don't mean any malice or anything by it, and you're just doing it just to get a laugh. I mean. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I think this one probably just took him by surprise because people were offended in a way they didn't quite anticipate.
Yeah.
So, and for me personally, like if I'm trying to offend somebody and that's what I'm going for, I don't really care.
Right.
But if I inadvertently offend somebody, then I feel horrible.
Yeah, I guess that's about
you know,
right.
that's when I feel bad.
Yeah. But then it's a weird thing because he did make fun of the guy with the iPad, but then he made fun of other candidates too in their appearances, and no one seemed to be upset about that. And then he made fun of his own appearance, and no one seemed to be upset about that. It's just one guy.
Well, I think it's also like maybe it was taken out of context a lot, and
yeah, I mean we tend to do that now. We just tend to like just read headlines.
You read
just
a little summary of something,
and then like without reading the rest of it,
and nothing can suck the humor out of something than somebody's like clinical description.
Pete Davidson makes fun of Vet.
Yeah,
that's all I need to know. Fuck Pete.
He needs
to die in a fire.
That's a bad headline.
Yeah,
you don't want that.
Okay.
But, anyway,
we got serious there.
We did. No, well, I thought it was an interesting question.
No, it's great. And shit gets real.
Yeah. So next, back to the sketches.
Yes. Back next, to the funny.
Next, we had the potties, which, potty. Wow, that sounds weird when you say it out loud. Potty as in podcast.
Yes.
P-O-D-D-Y. So it was the potties award show where they're awarding various podcasts. And
right. We
have interesting categories like the most jarring transition into a sponsor, or best nervous white girl in a place where she doesn't belong.
And, oh yeah, I thought that part was funny because like they had A.D. Bryan and talking to some like drug cartel.
Yeah.
And then they cut to her in the audience and it's just a picture of her with the flower next to it. I was like, oh no.
Yeah. And
this is like a sketch like you wouldn't get unless you're a big fan of podcasts, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. And we had Cecily Strong, she was one of the co-hosts of it, and she was doing her impression of the person who hosts Making a Murderer, I think, what's that other crime podcast that everybody went nuts about?
I don't listen to crime podcasts.
Neither do I.
I listen just like, I'm just straight comedy.
This was...
And SNL nerds.
Yes. But anyway, it was... You know, like they're not as animated as NPR hosts,
right?
I mean, just very restrained.
Yeah, like I know the I get the persona, but I don't know the names.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they were just kind of like NPR-ish type of hosts, and in the MeUndies theater, which is again like that's something you wouldn't get unless you listen to a lot of podcasts, because like MeUndies like sponsors a lot of podcasts and stuff like that.
I don't think I've heard them sponsor any of the podcasts
I've heard the name MeUndies mentioned a bunch in like a bunch of podcasts and stuff.
Okay,
like Blue Apron,
Blue Apron definitely,
Sherry's Berries definitely, and stuff like that.
All of whom we would love to have as sponsors here on the SNL Nerds.
If any of those sponsors want to sponsor this podcast, please.
Again, we talked about this last week, but we are willing to sell out.
We will shill ourselves at the speed of light.
We will shill ourselves silly.
Oh, forget it. I will wear a Sherry's Berry jacket like a NASCAR driver.
Exactly, exactly. If need be. Stamps.com, get on this.
Blue Apron, please. My God. I mean, come just hop on board. Hop on board.
Squarespace. I mean, we will build websites using you.
Damn straight. I will ditch my website now and build a Squarespace website.
There you go.
I will.
So.
Oh, and what's it called? Eric Moffat did a Mark Maron impression.
Yes. I thought it was a pretty good Mark Maron impression. Which I'm a listener of WTF. I enjoyed that. So he was like,
"Yeah, that was
okay. All right,
we good."
All right, what are we doing? Hey, folks, this is Mark Maron.
Oh, God, hey, folks.
And it was...
Boomer lives!
Yeah, I mean, Mark Maron is great. I'd love to see Mark Maron come back. And, you know, when Kate McKinnon's character won, she came up, and it seemed almost like to me that she was doing a Jodie Foster impression.
Yeah, very much so.
You got that, too?
I did get that vibe. And yeah. I also liked how, because I guess her character won for being in like a bar full of Nazis.
Yes.
And then she thanked all the women who listened to Nazis.
Mm-hmm.
All the women who listened to her talk to Nazis while, you know, doing Pilates or something.
Yes. Yes.
I thought that was interesting.
That was part of the nervous white girl in a place she doesn't belong.
Yeah, that was an interesting commentary.
And I guess we should also mention that at one point they had a podcast that was about, it was the most unnecessary podcast.
Oh, yeah.
And they had a podcast about the open mic scene in L.A.
That hit hard.
Do you that, Mike? What's that like? It was just comedian shop talk, and oh God, we've had so many conversations like
I've
that.
Listened to that podcast numerous times.
Yes.
And we'll continue to listen to that type of podcast.
It actually, now that I think of it, like Darren and I, we had lunch together right before we recorded this, and that was very close to our conversation. We were like, oh, so what show are you doing after this? Oh, okay. Who runs that? Who books that?
Yeah.
And
yeah, that segment hit close to home.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah.
Got shivers.
Yes.
So next up, we had House Hunters.
House Hunters. This was a very quick thing with Leslie Jones making, I think, her first appearance of the evening.
It was, yeah, I believe
And she was in a couple with Liev Schreiber, and they're discussing their options of which houses they really liked. And this one, it was kind of cool because it got very absurd very quickly.
Yeah, very much so. Like, I think it was a great sort of concept. I was watching with my wife, and she loved it just because she's a huge House Hunters fan. She loves, like, a lot of HGTV shows, like Property Brothers and stuff. So when she saw the format that they were going for, I was like, oh, that is spot on, House Hunters.
Yeah, and they're like, well, what did you think of the split ranch house? Well, it was good. It has space for my man cave, but all the windows were just drawn onto the walls. And
it just got bizarre and, like...
And it is 5 cents over our budget. And
and then there was talking about how, what about the Hidden Valley Ranch?
Yes.
And it was just showed a packet of salad dressing.
It was right next to that salad, but I don't know if I want to have neighbors that close.
And then it's like, and there was like another house where there was like a range on the bed.
Yes.
And
one where the toilet was on the ceiling.
Toilet on the ceiling.
One where the floors were vertical. And they actually cut to just the couple falling on the vertical floors.
Yeah, that was bizarre. And then there was the invisible house with the cat on top.
I really like this sketch because it was quick, it was weird,
yeah.
It was just very absurdist. I really liked it.
There was the one with, I think they chose the house with the Australian vampires.
Yes.
It was just like, what? What is...
Yeah, yeah.
It was bizarre, but I dug it.
It was cool. That was one of my favorites of the night. Mm-hmm. So let's see. Next, we had Beck Bennett and Kyle Mooney in a sketch where they were feuding young brothers, and they're both in oversized T-shirts, and Liev Schreiber is their dad. He just hoses them down.
Yeah, indoors.
Indoors.
And, yeah, and it was like, you have a hose indoors?
Yes, and they're Liev and Cecily were the parents, and they were entertaining some guests, and they're two... Kyle and Beck Bennett, who I'm sure wrote this sketch, because just seems like them all over.
This seems like, just primo Beck
and they were like a 9-year-old and a 5-year-old, and they're feuding and they're fighting and they're wrestling.
Yeah, I think Mooney gets thrown through a wall at some point.
Yes, yes.
It was interesting.
And Cecily Strong actually broke a bit.
She
hardly ever see that.
Yeah, I know. She's a pillar usually, but yeah, she broke
a little bit. I thought I saw Amy starting to go a little bit too.
Yeah, a little bit.
And at the end, they're just apologizing for all their excess energy, and then the dad says they still haven't figured out how to masturbate. Which it's one of the principles of sketch comedy is if you can't figure out how to end your sketch, go with a masturbation joke.
They won't bother me. I'll be upstairs masturbating.
Just when in doubt, just end with masturbation. Which
something something masturbate
exactly
da 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 da.
so yeah, but if you ever wanted to see Kyle and Beck in wet T-shirts, this was the sketch for you.
Yeah, this is that's your thing, man.
Yep,
this is it.
And there has to be somebody out there in the SNL audience.
Oh, there's who's
into that.
There's got to be.
Who's this like guy. All about the Beck and Kyle?
Oh my god,
the Beck and Kyle beefcake.
Okay.
I'm saying that just law of averages, there has to be.
Yeah. If you play the odds, there's got to be people into like two men in oversized Bugs Bunny T-shirts and underwear and tiny whiteys.
Yes.
Yeah. Just if you're playing the average.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. And we're not judging. You know.
No. You do what you do.
You do you.
That's right.
You do you.
Let that flag fly, baby.
Yep. So then, winding up the show, we had our final sketch of the night, which is, because we're getting towards the end of the show, it has to be the weird one.
Yeah.
Possibly even weirder than the last one.
Yeah, like you thought the last one was weird. This one's all made.
Dave outside the women's bathroom, which pretty much exactly what it says in the title.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's, when I heard the title, it's like, oh, this could get really creepy.
Liev Schreiber, as a guy, he's broadcasting, he's got a microphone, he's standing outside the women's restroom in a restaurant.
Yeah.
And he's just bothering the women who come out.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I saw you come out the bathroom. How'd it go in there?
Did you wash your hands? Did you?
Yeah. It could come across creepy. And plus, I know Lee was like kind of fumbling his lines a lot.
Yeah, this was a weird one. It felt a little like they were short of time, and they were like, okay, let's just do this real fast.
Yeah, or maybe that's it. Maybe they didn't have time to like rehearse it as much. Didn't have time to like prepare it as much. So
it was weird. I did kind of like when Leslie Jones just comes out and he wants to address her, but she just like stares at him, and he's like, "Yeah, I'm not even going to mess with her."
Yeah.
That was kind of funny.
Yeah, yeah, no, that was good. Yeah, that sketch was kind of it was an odd one.
It was a weird one.
It was a weird had a weird vibe to it, but they did what they could. They did what they did.
Yeah, it was a weird way to end the evening, but
yes,
overall, I thought it was a pretty solid show. I thought there was some really good stuff in the first half hour or so, particularly.
Yeah, overall, not bad.
You know, I like, you know, the alien abduction sketch. You can't go wrong with that.
Yeah.
The Booty Kings, I thought, was really funny.
Yeah.
The alien
abduction might be the skit of the night for me.
The Good Day Denver, I thought that was really clever with the incest twins.
Yeah, that might have been.
I enjoyed that. It, you know, took a turn later in the evening, but
as it always does, it always kind of like towards the end, it always gets kind of like what's going on here.
But when they cut this down to like an hour rerun, it's going to seem like a really solid show.
Yes,
you know,
just like this podcast. Once we chop it up, my God, it's going to be
like,
just
you know how this podcast has like 20 minutes of decent material.
Yes,
like yeah,
20. Wow, that's optimistic. But yeah, once they chop it up, man, boy, oh boy, it's going to be oof.
Yeah.
Just perfection.
So that was Liev Schreiber and Lil Wayne.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. He was definitely. I mean, like I thought, because he's a dramatic actor, he was a bit like stiff at some points. He's a little tight.
Yeah, I think at times they were like, "Oh, how the heck are we going to use this guy?" So he was like straight man a lot of the time.
Yeah,
and
which is the best way to go? Like
probably
if you have somebody you know is going to be kind of like maybe not. Like, you know, give it his all or just going to be like a little unsure of himself. You give him a lot of the straight man line and just let the funny people be funny.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe they do that for a lot of guests who they have, like, who are maybe politicians or...
Yeah, because, I mean, politicians are going to be stiff. Sports stars are going to be stiff because they don't have, like, a theater background or a dramatic background
like
or
athletes.
A comedy background.
Yeah, athletes and stuff. They're always going to be a little stiff, so you give them the straight man line and let the goofy people be goofy.
Yeah.
That's usually the best way to go about it.
So...
Yeah, so, yeah, that's the episode, people.
That's the episode. Next week, SNL has another new episode with Mr. Steve Carell.
Yes.
And Ella May.
Ella May, yes. I wasn't familiar with her. I listened to some of her stuff. I kind of dig it.
Okay.
Yeah, she's like an R&B singer from London. I think her first album just came out like a month ago, and she's good stuff.
Cool, cool.
And, I mean, Carell, I mean, you can't go wrong with Carell. Actually, there was a thing where I think when we posted that Steve Carell was going to go on, like somebody mentioned... I think it was my sister, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, Melanie. So she said that, I don't know if Carell, you know, has he still got it because, like, he's been doing tons of dramas lately.
That's true. He has.
And, I mean, I just thought about it. I was like, well, I mean, I think, like, when you have comedic chops like that and a big comedy background like that, I don't think it ever leaves you.
No, I think that's pretty well ingrained in him. He's, I believe, he was a Second City guy.
Yeah, he came up with Steve Colbert, I believe.
Yeah, yeah. He and Colbert go way back, even before The Daily Show. They were both on the Dana Carvey Show together. They were both Second City guys.
Ambiguously gay duo.
I mean, Steve Carell, he's just a hilarious guy, and I think he's going to be great. He's hosted a couple times before.
This will be his third time, I believe.
Yes. Yeah, I think he hosted in like 2005, 2008, something like that.
Yeah.
And he's made like a cameo or two
on
the shows. There was one time he came on with the Anchorman guys, and they had a sing-off with... One Direction, I think it was a boy band. They were singing "Afternoon Delight."
One Direction, I remember them. I gotta go back and watch that. But yeah, like I said, like once you have a comedy background, I don't think it ever leaves you. Because like I mean, Tom Hanks has been hosted it a bunch of times, and he's done almost nothing but dramas. But like
that's true.
When it's time to do a comedy sketch, he goes right back into
boom.
Back in the 80s, boom. 80s Tom Hanks.
Yeah, that's right.
He goes back to Bachelor Party.
That's right.
Bachelor Party mode.
Guest starring on Family Ties.
Oh, wow.
Doing Splash and...
Ooh.
And,
The Burbs.
The Burbs.
Money Pit.
And, Big.
Big. Oh.
Big.
Oh, yeah.
And League of Their Own. And
oh, we just got to name Tom Hanks movies now?
Let's just name Tom Hanks movies for the next
30
minutes.
Turner and Hooch.
Turner and Hooch.
And I think that's it. That's all he did.
That's every single comedy. Bosom Buddies.
Dragnet.
Yeah.
Well, we are running out of steam.
But we're looking forward to Mr. Steve Carell.
Yeah, I think he's gonna do well.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there's gonna be at least a sketch or two where we're like, ha ha ha.
Oh,
that's funny.
Oh, Carell.
We like the Steve Carell, you know, even though he does mostly drama stuff and Yeah. He looks more serious now. He's like the silver fox.
Yeah, he's got the salt and pepper going. Yeah. He's distinguished now.
The ladies are liking the Steve Carell now. They're digging his look.
I have seen that people be like, has anybody ever noticed Steve Carell's super hot?
Yeah.
I was like, really?
Steve Carell can get it.
I was like, really?
Yeah. He's got it going on.
The ladies.
So.
Who knows what. The ladies like different things, I guess.
Yeah, hey, it works for them.
Yeah, hey, God bless you, ladies.
Yep.
God love you.
So, right. So that was the show. So that's going to be it for this week. But we will see you next week with Steve Carell.
And Ella May.
Ella May.
Not Ellie May. It takes me everything in my power not to say Ellie May.
Not the blonde girl from the Beverly Hills. No, although that would be very interesting.
It's like, she sings now?
I don't even know if... Was it Donna Douglas? Was that her name?
Yes.
Donna. Yeah. Is she even still alive?
Donna Summer.
I don't even know. Yeah.
Wow. Well, call in, guys, again.
Call in. Call in to our non-existent number. Let us know what you think. Would you, you know, do you dig Steve Carell?
Yeah.
Do you like the Ellie May? Or Ella May? Do you like any May?
See?
Do you like the month of May?
Do you like Fannie Mae?
Yes.
Do you like the month of May? Oh, you said that already.
I did.
Damn it.
I did. Okay. We're going to wind it up here, guys.
Okay. Thanks. Do you have anything to plug or anything?
No, I think I'm good right now. Do you have anything? I know you're running off to a show. Right after we finish recording this.
I have that. And then I'll be in Brooklyn on November 16th at Friends and Lovers. I'm doing the show. I'm doing the...
Which one are you?
Well, you have to come out and find out, guys.
Yeah.
Oh, God. That sounded odd.
Yeah.
On the 17th, I'm doing a podcast. My recording on my other podcast, The Virgin Chronicles.
Yes.
In Brooklyn at Colony 274. And if you want to find out where else I'm at, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Darren Credible, and go to my website, Darin Credible. And just find out where I'm at.
And I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Trumbull Comic. So please check me out there.
Absolutely. And please, guys, rate and review the podcast.
Yes.
Hit us up. We've been getting great feedback. We'd love to hear more feedback.
And we have a Facebook page. Just do a search on Facebook for SNL Nerds.
Yes.
And you can talk to us on that page and tell us, you know, what you thought of the show, what you're looking forward to.
Yeah.
Ask us questions. And, we want to build up a nice community there. So,
so please
check us out. SNL Nerds on Facebook.
Yes, spread the word, leave reviews, just help us help you.
Yes. All right, that is it for this week, and we will see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.